text, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries presents. Titles, Concrete Evidence, A Fixer-Upper Mystery. We move past a statue to reveal a building with a light on in the attic. A Muse Entertainment production. We move from the red tail lights of a parked Impala in the rain to the headlights. Text, Jewel. Colin Ferguson. From behind the bushes we spy on the car. Text, Aaron Carpluck. Ron Lee, Jason Cermak, Colin Lawrence. The headlights are turned off. William McDonald, Jen McLean, Angus Michael, Carl Richards. A woman sits writing in a journal surrounded by lit candles. She stops writing and looks up. She returns to writing. She startles and looks towards the sound. She leans back. She stands. She opens the saddle of a rocking horse and hides her journal in the secret compartment. She slowly walks to the top of the stairs in the dark. We see her silhouette illuminated by moonlight at the top of the stairs. She slowly begins to walk down. A hooded figure moves through a doorway in the dark. The woman turns a dark corner.
Hello?
She nears a banister looking around her.
Anyone there? You guys, this isn't funny. You're scaring me.
She looks over the banister to the floor below her. She turns around and walks back down the way she came. She recoils back as she sees something.
What are you doing here?
The light in the attic flickers out. Directed by Mark Jean. The sun shines through the clouds onto a lighthouse next to calm waters. Boats are parked in a marina. A banner hangs in front of a school that reads Good Luck Bulldogs defending state champions.
Yep. Okay, yeah, here's okay. All right, okay, we ready? Okay, 3, 2, 1. We are here at the new field house at Lighthouse Cove High with Principal Darren Dean. You must be so proud of this state-of-the-art athletic facility and the fact that your football team has won championships 3 of the last 5 years.
Very proud. Bulldogs! And thankful to our dedicated staff.
And your Bulldogs are a favorite to win Friday's championship game, isn't that right?
We are, due in no small part to our stellar young quarterback here, Aaron White. He's been working miracles on the field all season.
What is that noise?
They look over to a group building afloat.
I'll take care of it. Shannon, hey!
Shannon has ear protectors on as she saws through wood. A man taps her, makes a throat cut sign and points to Brad, who waves. She waves back. He walks to her as she takes her ear protectors off.
Hi. Hey, sorry, I didn't realize the interview already started. Oh, Mr. Dean, I apologize.
No, volunteers can make all the noise they want.
She just dropped by for a minute. There was a saw that I needed, and she was kind enough to bring it by.
I hope you won't send me to detention, Mr. Athletic Director, sir. I'm actually in a hurry to get going.
Shannon's starting the Craddock House restoration today.
Oh, wow.
You guys should start calling it the Sullivan House. Max Sullivan is the owner now.
Well, it's been the Craddock House for, what, 100 years now? It'll always be the Craddock House around here.
Yeah, that's fair. It's probably a losing battle.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, good luck with the job, Shannon. And thank you so much for donating your time to our cause.
Go Bulldogs!
Yeah, go Bulldogs!
Go Bulldogs!
Shannon pulls up to a house in her Hughes truck. She spots two men in the driveway talking and scoffs.
No, that's not how it
is. Cliff Hogarth, relentless as ever.
She gets out of her truck.
Hey!
Mac and Cliff. Wish I could say I was surprised to see you here.
I just thought I'd let Mr. Famous Writer here have one last chance to let me have a bit on the Craddock job.
Which I have kindly declined. Again.
Which I was just saying might not be the smartest move. I guarantee my bid will be lower than hers. And I can get it done faster. Which means you won't have to be living in Shannon's little gingerbread shack back there.
He shrugs.
Just telling it like it is.
Well, it is true, I do take extra time because I specialize in quality restoration, whereas QB Construction specializes in quick and cheap.
Oh.
Hey, Just telling it like it is.
I make no apologies about charging my customers a reasonable fee. What do you say, Sullivan? Let me take a gander at your place. I'll float you a number.
I appreciate you having my best interests at heart, but I'm gonna stick with Shannon.
I admire loyalty, but you might want to talk to the president of the Historical Society. I think he will recommend me.
Oh, yeah, your cousin Ted. How is he?
Happen to have his number right here.
Oh, you know what, Cliff? I was just at the high school. There's this news crew there. They're doing a story on next week's big game. I bet they would love to hear about how you won us our first state championship.
Mac looks to Cliff, who smiles.
Oh, wow, I bet they would at that. And thank you for the heads up.
Yeah.
Listen, for you, should you change your mind.
He hands Mac his card and smiles broadly. Mac watches Cliff get into his truck. Shannon tight-lipped smiles.
You really spent 4 years in high school with that guy?
And I survived to tell the tale. And now if I can just survive him poaching my clients.
Mac smiles and nods.
Oh, hey, Sean. Meet Mac Sullivan. This is the writer who hired us to restore his home. Mac, this is Sean Brogans, my construction foreman.
Hey, Mac.
Hi.
Thank you for standing up for me with Cliff.
I'm gonna get to work.
I was gonna stop by today, watch you do your magic, and before you say no, I really need a reason to procrastinate. Work on my novel isn't going as smoothly as I'd hoped.
Okay, but if you come by, I am going to put you to work.
Done.
She walks back to her truck.
Was that Cliff Hogarth I saw trying to steal our client?
Oh my gosh. Yes, the one and only.
Man, that guy never gives up.
Yeah, only there was a cure.
They pull up to the Craddock House, which is the house from the beginning, where construction workers have already started. From the bare branches and gray sky, Shannon and Sean watch as workers carry materials into the house.
Wow. I haven't been out here in years.
An official before photo.
She snaps a photo with her phone, then walks a few paces and smiles.
I love my job.
She looks back at Sean, whose brow is furrowed, looking at the house.
Hey, Mr. Foreman, you're on the clock.
All right. Who's ready to transform this house?
They roll out blueprints.
I think what we need to focus on is the corner of the foundation over here is where I noticed the most crumbling.
Okay.
Actually, I have a great faux painter. Remind me to call her.
Okay.
And we have marble coming in from Italy. I want to get rid of the tongue and groove. This molding is beautiful. We'll have a few fixes.
They look at the crown molding around the doorway. She inspects the banister where the woman had looked over in the beginning. Sean continues down the hallway. Shannon runs her hands over cracks in the banister. She furrows her brow. She stands and looks over to Sean, who stands just outside the doorway to the next room.
You good?
He glances down at his clipboard.
Yeah.
Shannon examines the blueprint. A worker behind her pulls on a rope.
Travis, are you okay?
Yeah, stupid dumbwaiter. It's stuck between here and the second floor, and I just gave myself rope burn.
Well, first, you should be wearing gloves.
She holds her gloved hand up, then tries the rope herself.
Yeah, that's stuck all right. Why is that 2x4 there? Strange. Second, you need the right tool for the job.
She grabs a drill and sits on the edge of the dumbwaiter.
What? Thought you'd be finished my restoration by now.
Yeah, maybe by lunch.
I'd be happy to get this dumbwaiter and stuff by lunch.
She reaches into the corner.
This board shouldn't even be here.
Be careful. My grandmother had one of these, and the one time I tried to get it unstuck.
Matt grabs her just in time as the dumbwaiter crashes down.
You okay? Hard you to fix my house, not destroy it.
He smiles. She nods. Sean rushes in.
What was that? Is everybody okay?
She points behind her.
The dumbwaiter fell into the basement. We better go assess the damage.
They walk out of the kitchen. Cobwebs hang from a bare light bulb.
Whole thing busted in pieces.
Shannon's eyes widen and jaw drops.
Don't touch it.
What?
Shannon points.
Look.
A skull peeks out of the broken dumbwaiter. They lean in to see. Shannon furrows her brow and glances to Mac. Mac waits outside as a police car pulls up. He waves.
That's human bones, all right. Looks to be an entire skeleton. The impact from the fall must have broken it apart. Wonder how long it's been here.
When I bought the house, the inspector gave me a 5-page list of all the problems, but a skeleton in the dumbwaiter wasn't one of them.
Well, kids have been coming here and hanging out for years.
It could be a kid climbed in the dumbwaiter, tried to go up or down a floor, and then it got stuck with the kid trapped inside.
What is that? That silver thing?
The officer hands her the flashlight as he looks.
Looks like a medical alert bracelet.
He picks it up with a pen and blows the dust off of it.
It says allergic to bee stings.
Sean's head snaps to him.
What did you say?
Whoever this was allergic to bee stings.
Lily had a bracelet like that.
They look at each other into the skeleton.
I think that looks like Lily's shirt. Who's Lily?
Sean raises his brow.
It's my sister.
He stumbles out.
Sean, hold on.
I'll go talk to him.
Shannon runs after him. Mac watches her go mouth agape.
Sean, wait!
He runs up the stairs. Mac turns back to the officer and the skeleton.
Lily Brogan's here the whole time. Everyone thought she'd gone to California.
You knew her too?
Oh yeah, everyone in our school knew Lily. She was the lead in every school play. She was super talented. She dated the quarterback of our football team, Cliff Hogarth. She'd given this great speech at our graduation about chasing your dreams, and a few days after that, she was gone.
That was it? A girl vanishes, there's no investigation?
Oh no, there was an investigation. I still remember the detective interviewing people all summer. Her parents, they were on the verge of divorce, and she always said she was going to leave after graduation. That became the official conclusion. Lily Brogan's had gone off to chase her dreams.
Matt nods. A woman appears.
Dr. Wenders.
Officer Sloan, where are the remains?
Right here.
Let's have a look.
She walks to the skeleton. Her jacket reads medical examiner.
Hey, maybe it's not Lily.
They sit in one of the bedrooms.
It's her. You know what? That is what she was wearing the last time that I saw her.
He points to the floor.
Here in this room.
Here? Sean, I had no idea.
God, she was sitting right here. With Cliff Hogarth. His idiot friends were downstairs. She told me that she was going to move away.
Shannon's eyes soften.
I don't want her to go. So why he yelled at her? He called her selfish. Cliff, he just laughed at me and called me a whiny kid. So I left. Oh God, I was so mad. Later, my mom called me and told me that Lily had left without saying goodbye. But I thought that was my fault. Mm-hmm. And then when we didn't hear from her, I thought that was my fault too.
She raises her inner eyebrows. He leans his head back.
After my dad died and then my mom, I hired a private investigator to look for her. He didn't find any sign of her. You know, most people, they thought that meant she was dead.
He stares at Shannon.
But I never gave up hope.
I know.
And she was here the whole time, just stuck in that.
He rubs his face.
I left her here alone in this room with Cliff. You don't think that Cliff had something to...
Hey, Tommy sent me to find you. He has some questions for you, Sean.
Thanks. We'll be right out.
Mac leaves. Sean shakes his head.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
She stands and walks out. He stands and starts to follow. He pauses, his eyes darting, then walks out.
I also see what looks to me like perimortem breaks in numerous bones, including the skull.
Wait, you mean the breaks didn't happen when the dumbwaiter fell?
No, I'd assume they happened at time of death.
How's that possible if she was wedged in the dumbwaiter stuck between floors?
I could be wrong. I'll know more when I can get a closer look at the remains. Right now, I call it a suspicious death.
Tommy lowers his eyes.
Tommy, I think there's some things I need to show you.
I need to speak with Sean first. Where is he?
She turns.
I thought he was right behind me.
Look out there.
She looks.
He's taking off in your truck.
They rush to the window. They watch Shannon's pickup as it barrels away.
I think I know where he's going.
The driver's side door with the Hughes Restoration logo on it hangs open. A police car is next to it with its lights on. Shannon and Mac pull up in his car and get out.
What are you talking about? You're crazy!
Sean, back off now!
You were with her!
You were the last one to see her!
Calm down!
Sean!
You were the last one to see her!
Tommy holds Sean back from Cliff.
I think we found Lily's remains at the Craddock place.
Hey! Cool it!
Tommy, the last time I saw Lily, she was alive and well. My friends can vouch for it. And they also saw that you were the one yelling at her that night, so if anybody did anything to her, it was you!
No, hey, okay, you see? Tommy, did you see that? He attacked me, and I want him arrested for assault.
Cliff, come on.
No. I'm pressing charges. I'm calling Chief Jensen right now.
Shannon blinks.
All right, show's over. Back to work.
All right, Sean, turn around. Put your hands behind your back for me, please.
What? Hey, Tommy, is this necessary? It was his sister.
If they don't, I'm just going to come back here and take that liar apart. Tommy, he did something to her. I know it.
Sean, we'll launch an investigation. We'll get to the bottom of it, all right? Now, take him down to the car, read him his rights. I'll call ahead and let him know we're coming.
Sean is escorted out.
I'll come bail you out as soon as you're arraigned.
What I care about is making sure that whoever killed my sister pays. You gotta help me make sure Cliff doesn't get away with it. Promise me.
Shannon nods.
Hey, you should tell Tommy what you told me in the car.
She nods and walks over to Tommy.
Hey, there's some stuff I should show you at the Craddock house, and the chief should see it too.
All right.
They walk out. Shannon lifts the dumbwaiter door. They peer up inside.
The dumbwaiter was stuck between the first and the second floor. There was a piece of wood stopping it from moving. This piece right here.
She picks up a 2x4.
This wood is not the same wood used to construct the shaft.
So what are you saying?
Somebody secured this piece of wood in the shaft to keep the dumbwaiter from moving.
Tommy and the chief look at each other.
There's something else.
They follow her out. Mac looks up as Shannon shows Tommy and the chief the cracked banister above.
Look at this banister right here, this jagged break. There is adhesive in the crack like somebody tried to glue it back together.
Okay, so where are you going with this?
It's a sloppy job, and they didn't fix it. It's more like they were just trying to hide the break.
Tommy and the chief furrow their brows.
There's more.
They follow Shannon down the stairs. They crouch above the tile.
Now, I noticed this on my first walkthrough of the house, these cracks in the tile right here. Directly below the break in the banister.
They look up.
Now, the medical examiner said that she saw breaks in the bones that happened at the time of death.
And you said it yourself, Tommy. I mean, there's no way somebody could break their bones while being stuck in a dumbwaiter that can't move.
Unless that person fell through the banister.
Or was pushed.
And someone took that body and put it in the dumbwaiter and made sure it wouldn't be found.
Then this wasn't just a suspicious death.
It was murder.
The chief and Tommy look up once more. Shannon nods. We float over the small town. The lighthouse stands by the water.
Hey, thanks for coming over, Jim.
I can't believe that Lily was murdered. And poor Sean. I mean, you can't blame him for getting a little crazy with grief.
I know. I feel like I should have gone to the courthouse to lend him moral support while he faced the judge.
He doesn't want you there. You're his boss. I mean, it's too embarrassing for him.
Well, you should have gone.
And his old boss.
Yeah, and you hired him at, what, 18? You're the closest thing he has to a father figure anymore.
Hey, I just went by the house. Tommy said they made a positive ID on the skeleton using dental records. They're going to release a statement later today, but it is Lily Brogan's.
Their faces fall.
Man, we all expected it, but still.
You know, I keep thinking about my first day at Lighthouse Cove High. Do you remember, Shannon? It was sophomore year. It was Lily who volunteered to show me around the school.
Shannon lowers her eyes.
Do you really think it's possible that Cliff Hogarth could have killed her?
I don't know. I promised Sean that I would help him find out.
Why you did that, I don't know.
Dad, I worked side by side with him for years. He asked for my help. The least I could do is go talk to Cliff.
No. No, Cliff's too volatile. You need to stay away from him.
I could talk to him.
They look at Mac.
I mean, I could tell him that because the work's been delayed, he might as well come and give me a bid on the restoration. If he thinks he can get my business, I might be able to get him to talk about Lily.
But shouldn't you be writing?
Oh, writing. You know, that's sort of a subconscious thing anyway. And you wouldn't want me to let my skills as an investigative reporter get rusty.
Oh my gosh.
You know who's going to be devastated is Lily's best friend from high school.
Oh, Denise Jones.
Yeah. She's the drama teacher at the high school now. We should go there and we should tell her.
You're right. But Sean's going to be calling any minute.
I'll post bail for Sean. You break the news to Denise, okay?
Okay, thanks.
I'll go talk to Cliff, see if I can get a story.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Pete and Mac walk out, leaving Shannon and Jen to exchange a look. Shannon and Jen enter Lighthouse Cove High.
Wow, this place hasn't changed a bit.
Aaron throws a football down the hallway.
Touchdown! And the Bulldogs win another state championship.
Shannon and Jen watch them go by.
Yeah, and the football players haven't changed much either.
Sorry, yes. Everybody loves the Bulldogs. I'll see if we have any more tickets. I'll see if she's here. Please hold.
The woman on the phone holds a finger up to Shannon and Jen.
Wow, I'm having such a memory rush. This is where I first met Lily. Like, right in that spot.
Hey, Shannon. You back to finish the snack bar?
Actually, we're here to see your wife. You remember Jen?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, good to see you, Jennifer.
Hey, Brian.
So, why do you need to see Denise?
We have to give her some news about Lily Brogans.
Oh, I haven't heard that name in a while, not since she left town.
Brad, Lily's body was found yesterday at the Craddock house. She never left town at all.
They think that she was murdered.
His jaw drops.
Oh, man. Well, that's rough.
He closes his eyes.
Oh, that's gonna hit Denise hard. I'll go get her to class. But first, I should tell Darren.
Oh, sure.
They step aside and he walks by them to the principal's office.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that Vice Principal Dean, he's now principal. Mm.
Darren shoots a look up at Brad.
So crazy being back.
Yep. So I'll go get Denise and she'll meet you in the teacher's lounge?
Thanks. I don't suppose you remember where the teacher's lounge is.
How about I show you where it is?
Brad told me about Lily Brogans. It's very upsetting.
We're worried about how Denise will take the news.
I'm worried about the students as well. News of the murder of a girl their own age.
A girl.
Who's also a student here. They could be thrown for a loop.
Right.
They stop at a door.
So please be careful in how you relay the news to Denise.
Of course.
Thank you. I'll go call the district psychologist, make sure she'll be around the next few days. Here you go.
Thank you, Principal Dean.
They walk into the lounge with a table, chairs, a small kitchenette, and motivational posters on the walls.
Wow. I've never been in here. When I was a kid, this seemed like a secret magical room.
I know. And now here we are.
They look around. Jen puts her bag down on a chair. Mac walks into QB Construction.
Webb! Webb? Hey! Thought I might find you here.
Yeah? Why is that?
Well, with construction on my house being delayed, I thought I might take you up on your offer for a bid.
Oh. Well, yeah, we could talk about that. Talk to Kimberly, my secretary. She'll make an appointment for
you. Well, if you have a couple minutes, I'd love to do it now.
Sorry. Got to get some plans filed with the city. Talk to Kim.
Mac watches him walk off, mouth agape.
Okay, I might be getting rusty.
A woman walks into the teacher's lounge with a tissue and glassy eyes.
Denise.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
I haven't seen you in ages.
I know. So, Brad told you
that Lily's dead, yeah. We didn't want you to have to hear about it on the news. We are so sorry. We know what good friends you were. Yeah, she was my best friend.
They nod.
I remember thinking, though, how strange it was that Lily would have left without saying goodbye. I should have trusted my instincts.
Seems like we all should have done something different. Just should have known somehow.
I just can't believe it.
Excuse me. It's my dad.
Okay.
Shannon steps away and answers her phone.
Thanks. Hey, Dad. How's Sean?
I imagine not too good. I got tired of waiting, so I went down to the police station. Tommy told me that Sean's arraignment won't be until tomorrow.
What? Why?
I don't know. He wouldn't tell me.
She glances back at Jen and Denise.
I'm gonna go down there right now.
Okay. I'm on my way to see a lawyer friend of mine, see if he can help.
All right. Love you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
She walks back to Jen and Denise.
Hey, guys, I'm so sorry, but I have to run.
It's okay. Yeah, it's fine. I'm going to stay a little while longer.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye.
Shannon leaves while Jen and Denise keep talking. Officers get coffee in the break area of the station when Shannon walks down the hall. Tommy walks into the hall looking at a folder.
Hey, why is Sean still sitting in a jail cell? He should have been arraigned today.
Chief Jensen wants him to cool his heels another day while we follow up on some leads.
What do you mean leads? You arrested him for attacking Cliff.
Show me your badge. I'll be happy to discuss that with you.
Hey. You know my dad and I are the closest thing that Sean has to family in this town.
Tommy glances around and leans in.
Fine. You know the gist of it already. You were there when Cliff accused Sean of fighting with Lily the night before she disappeared?
Yes, Sean admits that.
We pulled the case file on the investigation done on Lily's disappearance. Two of Cliff's friends that were with him that night at the Craddock place reported seeing a car sitting outside the house when they left.
Shannon's eyes wander.
We asked Cliff about it yesterday. He remembered the car. He says he thought Sean was driving it.
But Sean left before Cliff. That's why he was so upset yesterday. Cliff was the last one to see her.
Or Sean waited for Cliff and his friends to leave and then went back inside.
Are you telling me that you think Sean is a suspect in his own sister's murder?
He straightens back up.
Let's just say he's a person of interest right now, and we don't want him taking off, okay?
What?
She furrows her brow.
So Sean attacked Cliff?
Jen nods.
I don't understand. Why would he do that?
Well, he said that Cliff was the last one to see Lily alive. He was with her the night before she disappeared.
What? Why would Cliff be with her?
Well, why wouldn't he be? I mean, he was her boyfriend.
Well, not exactly.
What do you mean?
The chief and an officer walk through the station. Shannon is on her way out when Jen and Denise walk in.
What are you guys doing here?
Denise needs to talk to Tommy.
To tell him what?
That Lily broke up with Cliff the day before graduation.
She furrows her brow.
Really?
Jen raises her brow.
Yeah, Denise told Tommy all about Cliff and Lily's rocky relationship. He called Cliff and asked him to come in for more questioning.
And this supposed breakup didn't come up when they're investigating Lily's disappearance?
No, it happened at the end of the school year, so not many people knew about it. And then she went away for vacation with her family, and the police just never interviewed her.
Huh. Well, let's see what Hogarth has to say for himself. I'm about to invite myself onto his boat.
Ask him about the car he said he and his friend saw sitting outside the house that night.
Yes, ma'am. Hey, your secretary said you'd be here this afternoon. Permission to come aboard?
Holds up beer.
Granted. Right.
He walks onto the boat.
Yeah, I'll finish re-rigging the sheets and replace the halyard and get her ready for a trip down to Mexico this summer.
Oh, that sounds like a good time. Wow.
Yeah, it will be. Boy, I'm enjoying that beer.
Well, I hope we got to make a couple bucks knocked off the restoration.
Well, it might at that.
And I felt bad. I heard you got grilled by the cops again today.
Were you following me around?
Nah, small town. People talk, you know. Heard they wanted to talk about you and Lily breaking up right before she disappeared.
Yeah, like it's some big old secret.
Right? And you guys were going in separate directions anyway. She was off to Hollywood. You got a football scholarship to...
University of Michigan.
Michigan?
Yeah. Girls must have been lined up to date you.
Yeah, they were. Trust me. And you and Lily stayed friends. I mean, you saw her the night before she disappeared.
That's exactly what I told Tommy. You know, she called me that night. She had a jacket of mine that she wanted to get back. When her brother showed up and started giving her grief. Then my guys and I left right after he did. You know, Tommy reminded me about something. When my friends and I were leaving, we saw a black car parked under a tree just to the side of the house. And Sean was driving his dad's car in those days. And I'm thinking it was black. Boy, Sean was really yelling at her. His face all red.
Mac watches him.
Maybe he waited for me to leave and went back in to finish their fight.
Maybe he pushed her. I don't know.
Mac shakes his head.
So, am I going to bid on your restoration or what?
Absolutely.
Attaboy.
They cheers and drink.
So if it was a black car that Cliff and his friend saw, then it wasn't Sean. I happen to know that Sean borrowed his dad's car in high school, and it was green.
How do you remember that?
She clears their plates.
I backed into it. At the grocery store parking lot with Mr. Brogan's in it. What? It was my first year driving, and in my defense, my dad's truck was huge.
Well, I would love to have been able to see that. The incredibly able Shannon Hughes miscalculating something.
Oh, what? So your first year driving, no fender benders?
No. I drove my sister's Corolla into a ditch, but that doesn't count as a fender bender because the fender was not bent. It was crushed. I totaled the whole thing. She's still mad.
Well, it's a good thing we didn't grow up in the same town. We would have crashed into each other left and right.
I'm sure we would have.
They smile. She looks down.
So back to work. When the police say that we can get back into your house...
They already told me you can go back in. I guess they didn't find much in the way of evidence.
Really? Nothing?
Well, they wouldn't find much 20 years after the fact. But at least now we can get Cliff to give us the quote and see if his story holds up.
Good. Because I know Sean did not hurt Lily.
He nods.
So how are you, Sean? Are you doing any better?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah.
Just glad Shannon got me out of that jail cell.
It was ridiculous to ever suspect you.
Okay. This is ready to go, honey.
Oh, good. I went through my old high school box looking for photos of Lily. You know, in case you want to hold a memorial for her sometime.
They sit.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Okay, well, I found all kinds of stuff, and Brad scanned it into a video, and... It's still a work in progress, but we thought you'd like to see it.
He smiles.
Yeah.
Okay.
They watch the video of Lily in a costume taking a bow in a theater. A picture of Lily with a puppy. Shannon and Sean watch and smile. Lily blows us a kiss in her costume. Shannon puts a hand on Sean's leg. A photo of Lily crying over a dummy in a play. A photo of her smiling. Denise watches Sean who smiles.
Seriously, Lily, you have to write in that diary even at dress rehearsal for the famous memoir I'm gonna write someday.
She sticks out her tongue. A photo of her smiling in costume. Sean blinks back tears.
Are you guys hungry? I made some sandwiches.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Do you want to start the coffee, honey?
Shannon looks to Sean and smiles. He shakes his head slowly and smiles. She puts a hand on his shoulder.
So Lily kept a diary?
Yeah, she used to write in those blank journals all the time. She just filled them up one after the other.
Do you still have any of them?
Well, a couple. They're from when she was younger. And when she got older, she would hide those things where nobody could find them.
Oh. Hide them where? Her room?
Anywhere but there. My mom was nosy. I don't know. I mean, the last time I saw her writing one of those was the Craddock House.
She purses her lips and they look away. She looks back at him and slowly lowers her jaw.
Sean said she used to sleep in here sometimes. If she felt safe enough to sleep in here, I bet she felt it was a good place to hide her diary.
He scratches his chin.
But where is a good hiding place?
Well, I don't see too many possibilities.
You're a writer. Use your imagination.
They smile then go off in separate directions. Shannon moves a box then lifts up a storage bench. She rummages through the box. Mac looks behind the radiator. He reaches back behind it. He turns out a box of clothes on the floor. Shannon turns from the box and scans the room. We see her in a full-length mirror clasping her hands. Her gaze lands on the mirror. She unclasps her hands then walks over to it. She examines the wood frame on the bottom then looks on the back of it. She bites her lip as she struggles to pull something out.
Look what I found.
She holds a flowery pink diary. Mac looks up. Tommy reads the diary.
I won't pretend we didn't read through the diary while we were waiting for you.
I would have bet money on it. Anything I should be looking for?
Most of it seemed to be Lily writing about how much she wanted to be in the movies.
Or how she was afraid her parents might get a divorce, but there were a few things that surprised me. She was failing math, and she talks about wanting to hire Brad Jones to tutor her. I didn't know Brad tutored students.
I wish I'd known that. I barely made it through trig. Is there anything about Cliff?
Not a lot, which I don't get. I mean, her boyfriend?
She does talk about a fight they got in after she accused him of cheating.
Saw that coming.
But the most surprising thing to me is how she talks about Denise. She calls her, quote, two-faced. Said that she lied about her to the drama teacher.
Lied about what?
I don't know. This is the last page of the diary. And she wrote this a good month before she died.
Huh.
You know, her brother said she used to fill diaries, like one after another. So we were thinking she might have another one hidden somewhere.
Probably somewhere in this house.
We searched it thoroughly, although we didn't find this one. Guess it is possible. Can bring another team in to search again.
I'm about to tear this place up to renovate it. I can just let my crew know to keep a lookout.
That'll do.
Jen and Shannon walk into the school with baskets.
I can't believe I let you talk me into this. I mean, you really think that Denise and Brad are going to believe we're here to give them cookies?
Why not? Everybody who stays at your B&B loves your recipes. And who wouldn't love getting one of these baskets?
You really don't think that they're going to know that we're here to grill them?
Don't think of it as grilling. Just think of it as reminiscing.
They walk into the main office.
Hey, Lois. We're here to see Brad.
He's with a student. Should be out in a minute.
They sit on a bench in the office.
You know, it's too bad you didn't find more of Lily's diaries yesterday.
I know, but we're not giving up. We searched the second floor yesterday, and we're going back tonight to search the ground floor.
Okay. Now, why don't you talk to Brad, and I'll go talk to Denise, and then we can get this over with.
She leaves as the principal enters on the phone.
Oh, Governor, we got two VIP seats saved for you for the big game.
Aaron leaves Brad's office.
Yeah, okay, all right. I'll see you after practice.
Yeah, at 4:30.
Shannon approaches Brad.
Tell me that kid doesn't remind you of Cliff Hogarth.
Yeah. Will you walk with me? I need something from my other office.
Yeah.
Okay.
They walk out of the main office. Mac and Cliff walk around on the first floor roof.
Shannon was going to replace the entire underside of the eaves. She said the wood was starting to rot.
You want to keep telling me what she was going to do, or do you want to hear what I would do?
Come on. Everyone around here knows you're the king of construction.
You got that right.
They walk back and through a window door.
I like the name of your company, by the way. Must have been cool to be a big football hero. I was a bookworm, the opposite of cool.
Yeah, I can see that.
Cliff looks at his clipboard.
But that must have been crazy. I mean, having girls chase you around.
Yeah, well, I was with Lily.
Right. Yeah.
They keep walking.
You must have had fun with some other girls, too. I mean, how could you resist?
Oh, it wasn't hard. You gonna want double pane windows?
Yeah, and make sure you factor in the cost of searching everything that goes out the door.
Cliff looks up, brow furrowed.
What do you mean?
One of Lily's old diaries was found upstairs, so the police think there might be another one hidden in the house, and whoever does the renovation is going to have to keep an eye out. Probably a waste of time, but, I mean, you knew her. Do you think she would have written something down that would point to a killer?
I don't know. Yeah, I've seen enough here. I'll send you my quote.
Okay.
His eyes dart around as he leaves. Shannon and Brad walk through the basketball court.
Tell Jennifer I said thanks.
I will. I told her about the montage you did of Lily. She's trying to talk Sean into a memorial.
Yeah, I don't know that he's keen on the idea.
Oh, well, if it does happen, I know Denise would have amazing stories to tell about Lily, even if they fought sometimes.
It's what you do in high school.
They enter his office.
Wow, these are nice digs.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it back here, you know? I'm closer to the coaches, I'm closer to the athletes, but it does smell a little like old tennis shoes.
So, what about you? If we had a memorial, would you have some stories to share about Lily?
Oh, no, I doubt it. We weren't that close.
But you did tutor her, right?
Yeah. How'd you know that? Hardly anyone knows that.
I read her diary. I found it at the Craddock House, and she wrote about wanting to hire you.
You found Lily's diary at the Craddock House?
Yeah, one of them. There might be more. I'm still looking, but why is it nobody knows about you tutoring her?
Well, she didn't want anyone to know. You know, we couldn't have Cliff getting jealous now, could we?
Why would Cliff get jealous?
Caitlin and Stone's parents are waiting in my office.
Is it 10:30 already? Okay, I'm coming right now. Excuse me.
Brad leaves. The principal tiptoes in and grabs a cookie.
I'm sure Brad won't mind.
Shannon smiles and shakes her head. She watches him leave, then looks down, her lips pursed.
Cookie?
Yeah.
Of course, there's lots of money for football and sports.
She rolls her eyes.
And I know some of the football money pays for other things, but does it ever trickle down to the arts? No. Mm. Back when we were in school, it was so different.
She eats a cookie.
Lily and I used to order costumes from a catalog.
Really?
Can you imagine? She'd always order the most expensive one, too.
Her eyes widen.
Oh, we had a huge fight about it this one time. We both wanted to order the same costume. Oh, we got so crazy about it.
What, that's all it was about? Oh, Denise, I'm so relieved.
I mean, Shannon, she made it sound like practically ended your friendship and...
What? What are you talking about?
Just what Lily said about you in her diary.
Denise blanks.
Shannon found her diary?
Jen's eyes wander. Denise's brow furrows. Shannon's truck pulls up to the Craddock house. Shannon and Mac walk in the front door.
Huh. The light's out. One more thing to fix.
They walk further in. She pauses.
Huh. That's weird.
They walk to the back sunroom and she switches on a light to reveal a heater running.
Someone left the heater on.
That's not like my guys.
From the glowing heater, we see Mac and Shannon walk into the room. She points to a blackened wall outlet where the heater is plugged in.
This heater is stressing the connection. It's too much amperage.
She follows the cord, partially buried in sawdust.
Okay, this was not my guys. They know better than to use a household extension cord.
Well, who was it?
Don't touch that. You'll burn yourself.
She furrows her brow.
That's turpentine.
Her eyes widen as she backs up.
Do not let that sawdust catch fire. This whole place might go up in flames.
Where are you going?
I gotta kill the power.
She runs out and up the stairs.
Right.
He bends to the floor and starts sweeping sawdust away from the cord. Shannon runs to the breaker box and tries to flip the switch but can't. She furrows her brow and shines her flashlight on the box. The switch for the sunroom has a chain around it to keep it switched on. She breaks the chain and switches it off. Mac uses his phone light to walk down the hall as Shannon comes down the stairs.
You okay?
She holds up the chain in her phone light.
I found this in the breaker box.
His eyes widen.
Someone used it to tie off the switch so it wouldn't trip when it overamped.
What does that mean?
I mean, somebody tried to burn down your house.
He shifts his weight. They stare at each other. The front door to Shannon's home.
Well, the investigator confirmed that, yes, someone deliberately tried to set your house on fire.
And they tried to make it look like an ordinary electrical fire.
Yeah, no one would have suspected arson. Your house would have been a heap of ashes by now.
Okay, but I don't understand. I mean, you've already done the crime scene thing with all the tape, and you already have all the evidence that you're going to find.
Yeah, so why make the house go up in flames now? Good question.
Well, we think someone was trying to eliminate the chance of finding more of Lily's diaries.
No, that can't be it. I mean, me and the chief are the only ones that know that you found the first diary.
Jen opens her mouth.
Brad knows. I told him.
And I told Cliff.
And I told Denise.
Great.
They lower their eyes.
The way gossip travels in this town, anyone and everyone could know by now.
He purses his lips, then stands. Jen's eyes wander to the floor.
Shannon, I want your word you'll stay away from that house till I tell you different.
Her mouth twitches.
Fine.
She purses her lips. He tilts his head and stares at her, then leaves. She narrows her eyes as she watches him go, then sits.
Well, looks like work on your house will have to be delayed for a while.
Yeah.
Hey, I wouldn't be rushing over there after such a close call.
Oh, I wish we got there sooner. I think we just missed whoever set it up.
Yeah, it can't be just anyone. It has to be somebody that we told, like Cliff or Brad or...
No, don't say Denise. I really like Denise. And yes, she admitted to having a fight with Lily before she died, but it was over a costume.
Well, you said she seemed nervous about the prospect of someone finding another diary.
Okay, yeah.
But Brad acted funny, too. He said Lily wanted to keep his tutoring her a secret so that Cliff wouldn't get jealous. I wish there was a way to get closer to Brad and Denise.
Yeah.
Hey, didn't you say Denise was complaining that the drama department was hurting for funds?
Yeah.
I think I know a way we can spend more time at the school.
She smiles.
When Jennifer told me you were willing to help build the set for the play, I was thrilled.
Well, since I just finished the Cassini contract, I might as well put the time I allotted for the Craddock House to good use.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so I've signed you both into the volunteer log for today.
Ooh, feels so official.
You are. You're an official angel. So come with me. We'll go get some fabric for the costumes. And Shannon, I'll come back to take you to the wood shop and show you the materials we have to work with.
Okay, but Brad could show me if he has time.
Even better. Just ask him.
Okay. Perfect.
Thank you.
Shannon turns and bites her lip before walking over to Brad's office.
Hey.
Do you have time to show me where the wood shop is?
Yeah, it'll cost you a nickel. And we gotta make a pit stop at my other office.
Okay.
So, set builder. It's a new one for our volunteer roster.
Yeah, it's kind of like snack bar builder. Man, when you walk down these hallways, do you ever feel like you're back in school yourself?
I sometimes get that time travel sensation, yeah.
Do you ever wish you dated Denise back then?
I think things happen when they're supposed to happen.
What about Lily?
His eyes dart.
Well, you mentioned yesterday that Lily didn't want Cliff to know that you two were spending time together, so it just made me wonder if anything happened with you two.
His mouth opens as they turn a corner.
So where is this coming from? Is this more diary stuff?
No, I'm just curious.
Really? Because it kind of feels like an accusation. Look.
They stop walking.
I want to know what happened to Lily as much as anyone. But she and I don't have some deep, dark history together. I tutored her 3 or 4 times. That's it.
He keeps walking. She follows.
Go on. Get out of here.
Just chill. I was just talking to my girlfriend on the phone.
This is not a student lounge. I'm not going to tell you again.
Mike, I'll take care of it.
Hey, Aaron, can you hold up? Aaron. Hey, can I talk to you for a second?
Shannon rushes to the janitor.
Hey, I remember you from when I went to school here. You're Mike, right? Do you remember me?
Not so much.
Her face falls.
I only remember the troublemakers and that kid there, Aaron White. Does whatever he wants just because he can throw a football.
He shakes his head.
Well, I'm sure Brad will straighten him out.
So you saw Aaron.
He shrugs Brad off.
More like the other way around.
Shannon watches Aaron stalk off. Mike looks at her, raises his eyebrows, then turns and walks away. She furrows her brow.
Well, the bid's self-explanatory, and it's in the right ballpark, but I do have a few questions.
Well, let's hear them.
If I have to add security, is that something that I go to you for, or do I contract with another company?
Well, I'll get you a better deal.
Good, because last night, someone tried to burn my house down.
What?
Yeah, rigged it to catch fire.
Cliff blinks.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Police say that it might have something to do with Lily, like someone's afraid that more diaries are going to be found, but I read the first one, and it's pretty dry reading. But there was a funny bit about her being mad that you got better grades than she did.
Cliff furrows his brow.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Lily was always smarter than me.
They always are.
Cliff does a double take at a car parked in the lot.
What's up, Cliff? You know that car?
Max smiles. Cliff glares at him.
No. And you know what? I'm tired of all your questions. I'm tired of you talking about Lily all the time. I'm tired of the whole thing. I don't want anything to do with your house. I'm withdrawing my bid.
Wait.
He grabs a paper from Mac and walks to his truck. Mac watches him go, then walks back to the car. It's light blue with 3 tail lights on each side. He narrows his eyes and taps the car with his fingers.
You guys are awesome. Thank you for staying late to help me with these costumes.
Are you kidding? This is so much fun. Tonight, I'm going to go through my pattern book and find some good costume ideas.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, Denise, don't forget, volunteers have to sign out when they leave.
Yes.
Oh, right. I'll do it. I'll meet you guys outside. Hey, Jen.
Hi. Thanks, Shannon.
She takes Jen's name tag and walks to the office. She leans a roll of fabric she had been carrying on the desk while she picks up the pen to sign out. The fabric roll falls over and she bends down to pick it up.
Like I said, the district was aware of Denise's record.
Well, it surprises me that you'd overlook a battery conviction when hiring a teacher.
The incident happened when she was in college. It's not unusual for young people to have difficulty managing their emotions. She passed our psychological screening with flying colors. Had a solid work history, excellent references.
And I'm sure having her husband lobbying for her didn't hurt.
If you're suggesting I can be persuaded to make decisions against the best interests of my students...
No, I'm not questioning your judgment, Darren.
Good. Because Denise Jones is a dedicated teacher. And the sooner you can clear her from your suspect list, the happier we'll all be.
Okay, then.
The chief smiles.
Well, thank you for your time.
They shake hands. Darren walks away and the chief watches him before turning the other way. Shannon is crouched around the side of the desk and twists her face as the chief walks by. He stops and looks down at her. She looks up, half smiles and waves. She stands. We float over the harbor of the town. The Pacific Clipper sits in the dock. A busy intersection in town.
I wasn't expecting to see you guys on my doorstep.
You should have been.
What do you mean?
We were told that someone tried to burn down the Craddock House.
With you in it.
Oh. that.
Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't want to worry you.
Well, now I'm twice as worried.
Shannon, your dad is worried that maybe looking for Lily's killer is too dangerous.
You're darn right I am. And you should have never asked her to do it. And you shouldn't have agreed to put yourself in the middle of it.
Dad?
Look.
He looks down and blinks.
I know the way your mother died still haunts you. And I know that you don't trust the police to do the job.
It's not what this is about.
But I will not have my daughter put her life in danger for you or anyone else.
Sean looks away.
Do you understand? This stops now. Let the police handle it. Please.
He walks out. Shannon exhales. Sean points after her dad.
I am sorry that I got you in trouble with your dad.
Hey, he's mad at you too.
He looks away.
Hey, do you want me to drop this?
He shakes his head.
I know I don't want you getting hurt.
She shrugs.
It's not really an answer.
I'm sorry.
He glances away.
That's all I got.
He backs away. She nods and he turns to leave. She watches him walk out the door.
I must be losing my touch. I mean, the way that Cliff grabbed the quote and then walked away, that never would have happened when I was on my game.
Can we have a table for two, please?
Thank you. See, this is where you're supposed to say, oh, no, Mac, you haven't lost your investigative edge. I think Cliff is just a tough nut to crack.
Or he's just worried all of his secrets might come out. I'm sure Denise is.
She loses her temper, right?
Well, she did at one point, but I still don't see how all the pieces fit together. At first, I thought Brad and Lily were having a secret romance, and Cliff was jealous. Now I'm thinking maybe it was Denise that was jealous?
Mac tilts his head.
Okay.
They walk to their table. A waiter picks up menus and walks by another waiter carrying drinks on a tray that we follow and land on Mac and Shannon's table.
So tomorrow's back to school again for you, huh?
She looks down.
Okay, this sounds silly. But when I walk back in there, I feel almost like I'm 17 again. I feel insecure and awkward and like I don't really know who I am or what I'm doing. My dad scolded me today. He thinks I should leave everything up to the police. Literally scolded me. Whew. That made me feel like a kid too.
He smiles. She searches his face.
Hey, this is where you tell me that I'm doing the right thing by finding Lily's killer.
He stares at her.
That would require a certainty I don't have right now.
She furrows her brow.
I have a giant case of writer's block.
She nods.
I thought I had this great, like, true crime novel in me, but I'm 100 pages in, and I can't even get into my protagonist's head. I quit my job to write this novel. So, I'm chasing around this mystery with you, relying on your certainty. You're gonna have to tell me, is trying to find out who killed Lily Brogans the right thing to do?
Yes. Absolutely.
See?
He smiles.
I knew you'd be certain.
She smiles.
Your unwavering moral compass. It's one of my favorite things about you. And I love how you drum your pencil when you're poring over your building plans.
Really? Is that the best you got?
He leans in, opens his mouth, and gazes at her.
I love that you bite your lower lip. And you're thinking.
She gazes at him longingly.
More coffee?
They lean back as the waiter pours them coffee.
Thank you.
She rests her chin on her hand. They smile, then she shakes her head and covers her blushing cheek with her hand. Shannon is constructing the set for the drama department on stage. Aaron pops up from the prop sofa.
Oh, man. Are you still going? I'm supposed to sleep with all that noise.
I'm pretty sure you're supposed to be in class.
Yeah, only if I want to die of boredom.
You look tough. You'll survive. Besides, you have to have passing grades to play football. I know the whole school's counting on you to play Friday.
Oh, I'm gonna play. You don't gotta worry about that.
He walks out. Shannon watches him go. She narrows her eyes, then walks out after him, leaving her toolbox on stage.
So, are you worried about what Lily wrote in her diary?
Denise stares at her.
Why would I be worried? Oh, just because the police, they might consider you a suspect in her murder. Because they know about the big fight. Even though I know that it was just about a costume. It would be dumb to think it's me.
They walk into the costume room.
I know something that could point them in the right direction. Only Brad keeps talking me out of saying anything about it.
What? I mean, why would Brad?
Because it's about Cliff. I don't know, it's weird. Brad's been protective of Cliff ever since school.
Jen squints.
So you're saying that you think that Cliff killed Lily?
When Lily broke up with Cliff, I asked her why, and she said that she knew something about him that could totally ruin his life. I thought she was being overdramatic then, but now? Hang on.
She looks at her phone.
You're kidding me. Can I give you
of
that?
Of course.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
She walks to the next room.
Hello? No, I'm not listening.
You can't say that. What are you talking about? It's ridiculous.
Jen eavesdrops.
No, I'm not listening to you. You can't say this. This isn't true.
Jen leaves. Shannon walks down some stairs to the mechanical room of the school.
Hey, Mike.
She looks around.
Mike!
Brad comes around the corner.
Hey, you looking for Mike, too?
Yeah, I was looking for 16 penny nails. I thought he might have some.
Well, it doesn't look like he's here, and I have a meeting to get to. I gotta get sponsors to buy banners for the game. Hey, if you see him, will you tell him one of the showers in the boys' locker room is leaking?
Yeah.
Okay.
He leaves through the same door she came in. She narrows her eyes, then walks around the corner where Brad came from. She looks around as she walks by breaker boxes, pipes, and coiled hoses on the wall. She spots something inside a machine on the wall. She picks up a piece of paper and unfolds it to reveal answers to a history test. She looks at it with a furrowed brow.
Hey, Shannon.
Hey, can you find a reason to talk to Cliff again?
Maybe. What's up?
Remember how Lily called Cliff a cheater in her diary?
I don't think she was talking about romantic cheating. Ask Cliff if Brad Jones ever tutored him in high school. And then ask him if Brad ever helped him cheat on tests.
Okay, got it.
Mac walks past a picture of Cliff holding a football on the side of his truck as he walks into Cliff's construction shop.
Hello?
Mac looks around.
Cliff? Anybody here?
His eyes land on a spot on the floor. A pair of boots stick out from behind a shelf. Mac walks towards them, narrowing his eyes. He rounds the shelf to see Cliff unconscious on the floor.
Cliff?
At Shannon's house, Mac pours himself some coffee.
So how's Cliff? Any news?
Yeah, the doctor says that he has 20 stitches in his scalp.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah. The CT scan said there wasn't any damage, but he hasn't regained consciousness yet.
So what, you just found him on the floor of his office?
His equipment room. But yeah, door's wide open. Secretary said they're working on a large proposal. Cliff sent them to a late lunch, but never showed.
Oh.
So do they think it's an accident, or?
Shannon goes to the door.
Good thing you were there.
Right?
She opens the door to reveal Tommy.
Hey, Tommy. What's up?
I guess you heard Cliff Holgarth is in the hospital.
Yeah, Mac just told us.
This is what put him there.
He holds up her red wrench.
And it's got your name on it.
She stares at him, her eyes wide.
You don't think that I hit Cliff, do you?
Of course not. But I need you to tell me who might have gotten a hold of your wrench. Did you lend it to anyone?
No, it was in my toolbox this morning.
But where's your toolbox now?
At the school. I've been building a set for the school play. Anyone could have grabbed it.
All right. Well, I better go ask Cliff who paid him a visit.
The doc says he's still unconscious.
Okay, well then I guess I'll wait for him to wake up.
I'll go with you. I want to make sure he's okay.
That's a good idea. You guys go ahead, because Shannon and I, we have to go somewhere.
Shannon furrows her brow as Jen pulls her away. Tommy nods to Mac and they leave.
What? What is the hurry?
I think I know who took your wrench.
Who?
Jen and Shannon appear on Denise's doorstep.
Hi.
Hey, can we come in?
Yeah, come on in.
They walk in. Denise blinks as she shuts the door. Denise leads them to the kitchen.
Would you like some coffee? Denise, Cliff was attacked. Oh, that's terrible.
They study her.
Denise, I overheard Chief Jensen telling Principal Dean that you were once arrested for battery.
She looks away.
And we know that you believe that Cliff, he's the one that probably killed
that's
Lily.
That's not why.
Jen saw you standing next to my toolbox. You reached in it and grabbed one of the wrenches, didn't you? Then went down to Cliff's office, hit him with it.
That phone call I got when we were talking, that was Cliff.
Shannon nods.
Demanding to know where Brad was, telling me that it's Brad who killed Lily, telling me he's gonna go to the police. I had to talk to him. I took the wrench to protect myself against him, and he laughed at me when he saw me standing there with it, said I didn't have the guts to hit him with it. Turns out I had the guts.
Jen lowers her eyes.
What was I supposed to do? Let him keep lying about Brad?
Shannon tenses her face.
Are you sure it's a lie?
She glances to Jen.
Are you sure that Brad didn't...
Yes, I'm sure. I know Brad like I know myself. He's a good person.
So why did Cliff think Brad had a reason to kill Lily? What did Lily know about Brad?
Nothing. Lily knew things about Cliff, not Brad. And I'm sure Cliff killed Lily. That's why he's trying to put blame on my husband. And that's why I...
She rolls her eyes, looks down and scratches her head.
I shouldn't have hit him.
She twists her face.
I was just so upset.
I know. Hey, listen, if you like, I'll take you to the police station, and you can just tell them what happened.
She swallows.
Okay, I'll go get my purse.
She wipes her nose and turns.
Would you mind getting that, Shannon?
She opens it to reveal Tommy.
What are you... I'll save that for later. Cliff woke up. Is Denise here?
Yeah, come on.
Tommy and another officer walk inside. Denise glances at Jen as she walks to the door with her coat and bag. She looks up to see the officers, her face tensed. Tommy holds his hand out to gesture her to come with them. Her eyes wander as she furrows her brow and walks out with them. Shannon and Jen follow. At night, Mac gets out of his car and runs to help Cliff as he holds ice to his head getting out of the car.
Easy, buddy. Easy.
You leave.
No, right. I'll be fine right here. I just gotta wait for the world to stop spinning.
You should have let them keep an eye on you tonight like they wanted to.
Ah. 10 years playing football. I know how to take a knock to the head. Thanks for the ride.
He holds out his hand. Mac shakes it.
I found you. I felt responsible to make sure you were okay.
I'll be fine. What a coward Brad is, sending his wife to do his dirty work.
Mac tilts his head.
Why are you so sure that he sent her?
Cliff stares at him.
I told you I saw a car that night, right? Last night I saw Lily.
Yeah.
3 round taillights glowing in the dark.
That car you were looking at in your parking lot had 3 taillights, so it was an Impala that night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
He winces.
Yeah, at the time I thought that was Sean's car, but you know who drove an Impala in high school? Brad's brother. I told Tommy all about it. I should never have told Lily what Brad did.
What did Brad do?
Cliff shakes his head.
Help you cheat in some tests? So you could continue playing football?
Cliff looks up to him with a wrinkled brow.
Ow.
He winces again.
I tell you what, go ask Brad. Seriously. And then come back and tell me what he says.
He pats Mac on the back and walks to his door holding the ice to his head. Mac blinks, his brow furrowed. We move past a toy boat to Shannon's dad at a cash register.
Thank you. Have a good night.
He turns with his to-go bag and sees the man standing up then knocking over the items on his table.
Brad?
Brad picks up the items.
Hey. You okay?
I was supposed to meet Denise for dinner. She just called. She's been arrested for attacking Cliff Hogarth.
What?
His jaw drops and he looks away.
Oh, it's all catching up with me, Pete.
Can I help with anything? Do you want me to give you a lift down to the station?
No. I gotta go. I gotta stop this train before it's too late.
He leaves. Shannon's dad blinks and furrows his brow. Shannon walks into the school as Lois is leaving.
Oh, Shannon. What are you doing here so late?
You know, I forgot my toolbox in the auditorium. I just have to grab it.
Oh, okay. Just make sure the door's locked behind you on the way out.
I will. I'll be quick. Promise.
Okay.
Shannon walks up the stairs, stops at the top step and turns and waves to Lois, who waves back before turning forward again, her face tensed. She walks down the hallway. She approaches the doorway and puts her back up against the wall. She peeks around the corner to see who is whistling. The janitor is mopping with his back to her. She runs past the doorway. He does not turn around. She rushes to a desk with a ring of keys on it and picks them up. Shannon walks through the dark gymnasium toward Brad's office. She opens the door with the keys and goes inside. She walks to his desk and sits down at it. She opens a drawer to find some paper, then another. She rummages through the rest of his desk. She reaches underneath the desktop. She pulls out a folder, opens it and stands.
An athletic director with a test key?
She snaps pictures of the test key with her phone. She walks to the door to see a shadow of someone coming closer. She runs back to the test key.
Put this back.
She replaces it underneath the desktop and adjusts the chair. She tiptoes out through the other exit in his office. She looks behind her, then continues through another doorway. She walks through another door, then another marked boiler room. She rushes down the stairs into the boiler room. She runs through, then hides behind a tank. We watch a man's hand slide down the railing as he walks down the stairs. We see the dark figure walk by her. Shannon peeks out. She runs back up the steps to the boiler room door.
Hey!
She runs out into the hall. Mike chases after her. He stops and shakes his head.
Rotten kids.
That's it then. Proof that Brad Jones is helping students cheat and that Cliff knows.
Because he was the first. I'm just so shocked. I mean, why would Brad do this?
I gotta call Tommy.
What's that?
Hang on. Let me check.
She hands her phone to Jen and opens the door to reveal her dad.
Dad, what is it? What's wrong?
He walks in.
I just ran into Brad. Strangest conversation. He told me that Denise had just been arrested. And then he acted like it was all his fault and said, it's all catching up to me.
Did he say anything else?
Yeah, that he had to stop this train before it's too late.
She looks around and twists her mouth.
We need to warn Cliff.
She bites her lip. From the car, we drive slowly down a road and turn where there is a police car and an ambulance. The car parks. Mac and Shannon walk up the driveway. The chief comes out to greet them.
Chief, we came to talk to Cliff. Everything okay?
Tommy found him an hour ago, shot in the chest. He's dead.
Their eyes widen, her jaw drops, she glances back to Mac. We float over the town in the daytime. Shannon and Mac sit in the police station.
It doesn't seem possible. Cliff Holbreath dead.
Yeah.
They look down.
I couldn't sleep last night. Looks like Tommy couldn't sleep either.
Oh, hey, Chief said you'd be coming by. Come on in, have a seat.
They walk into his office.
I think we might know who killed Cliff. Mac was the last person to see him last night.
We already know who killed Cliff.
They listen expectantly.
It was Brad Jones. The judge already signed a warrant for his arrest. His fingerprints were all over Cliff's front door, and apparently he skipped town because he's nowhere to be found.
We were afraid of this.
I found him, you know. I took over a photograph of the Impala that Brad's brother owned 20 years ago to see if he could identify it. And there was a half-empty beer bottle sitting on the coffee table next to this.
He holds up the 1997 yearbook.
High school yearbook.
He nods.
Yeah, it was lying open to photos of him and Lily reminiscing, I guess. Mm. Brad goes in and kills Cliff and then takes off while his wife's sitting in a jail cell. I just don't understand it.
Then you need to see what Shannon found.
She takes out her phone.
I found this at the school.
She shows him the piece of paper with test answers.
Test answers.
Tommy looks from the photo to Shannon.
Okay, is this all I need to sign?
Denise signs a paper with the chief. We follow an officer through the station and land on Jen watching Denise as Shannon approaches her.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hey. How's she doing?
I think that she's in shock, you know. When she's bailed out, I'm going to take her home and stay with her till her mom gets there.
Good.
Shannon nods.
I don't believe what they're telling me. Brad's shooting Cliff? He wouldn't do that. He's the calm and steady one. He doesn't even have a gun.
I'm so sorry.
Maybe it was Cliff's gun. Maybe Cliff tried to shoot Brad and there was a struggle for the gun. That has to be it.
Okay, right. But you know, right now, Denise, let's just get you home.
Yeah. I need to go home so Brad can find me if he needs me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jen takes Denise out. Mac walks up behind Shannon.
That is one tortured woman.
I know. She can't even bring herself to believe her husband's done anything wrong.
You can't argue with the evidence.
She bites her lip.
Yeah, it does seem airtight.
She furrows her brow.
Then why that look?
She dips her head.
Doesn't it seem too easy?
You just spent the last 24 hours trying to convince everybody it had to be Brad.
I know.
All right, Mac, let's get that statement out of the way.
Yeah.
I'm just going to swing by the Craddock house to pick up a few things.
All right.
Mac follows Tommy down the hallway. Shannon watches them go with a tensed face. Tommy types on his computer.
Okay, so then Cliff said you should ask Brad what he was talking about?
Yeah.
Hey, Tommy. You got a minute?
Be right back then.
Sure.
Tommy walks out with the chief.
Hey.
Mac takes the yearbook off of Tommy's desk and flips through. Shannon walks up to the Craddock house.
I just talked to Aaron White at the high school. Now, he admitted that Brad Jones gave me answers to math tests on three different occasions.
So Shannon was right?
Apparently.
Mac continues to flip through the yearbook. He stops, spots something, and smiles.
There you are. Shannon Hughes.
Shannon's smiling yearbook picture with her face resting on her palm.
I just found your yearbook photo.
He types on his phone. Shannon walks in the door of the house. She looks at her phone.
What are you doing? I just came from Cliff's house. I know what happened. This is... No, it's over.
What's over?
It's all over. Everything is over. Come clean and just stop everything.
Mac keeps flipping through the yearbook. He glances at his phone, then spots something else in the book. His eyes widen. He rushes out to the hallway.
Tommy! You don't get it, okay? The police are trying to blame me for something I didn't do. I could go to prison for the rest of my life.
That should have been worse.
She sees Brad.
I know it was you who killed Cliff.
She tiptoes closer.
Don't try to deny it. Oh,
shut up!
Wait a minute. What are you doing? Hey, stop! 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 Stop it! Have you lost your mind? Burning this place down is not going to make it all go away. Diary or no diary.
I said shut up.
Shannon bites her lip. Brad looks down the hall at the open door. Shannon sneaks away.
Where are you going? Stop. Please, just come back.
She runs out typing on her phone. She gets to the door and is about to open it when someone grabs her from behind. Her phone falls to the floor. She is dragged off.
Hey, whoa, hey, what?
Mr. Dean!
He takes out a gun.
Don't move!
Oh, Darren, what are you doing? Would you just...
Put the gun away.
I told you to shut up.
Tommy!
Mac runs down the hall.
Something wrong?
Look at this. Look at this picture. Brad Jones did not kill Lily.
Mr. Dean gets his car washed?
Look at what car it is. Black Impala, taillights, three in a row. Just like the one Cliff saw that night.
We put an APB on Darren Dean.
I gotta get to Shannon. Where's she?
At Craddock Mansion.
He runs out. We move from tanks of gas up to Shannon.
I don't understand. Why were you giving test answers to students this whole time?
Because I told them to.
Look, I knew it was wrong, but it meant so much to the school.
So why did you kill Lily?
I didn't kill Lily. I came here that night to talk to her. To make sure she planned to keep quiet about Cliff. She panicked. Flung herself away from me. The banister broke, she fell. I thought about going to the police. But it wouldn't have brought her back. And why drag the school through the mud? Make my students pay for something that happened by accident? I've worked hard to make up for it. To give the students in my care every chance to succeed. No matter what it took.
Shannon nods.
Yes.
And I've worked too hard to watch it all go down the drain now.
Yes.
Oh, Darren, no!
He raises the gun, but Brad swats it away. Shannon backs up as they struggle. Brad's jaw drops and he falls.
Brad!
Darren watches Brad sink to the floor, then looks up at Shannon. She opens the door to the basement and runs down the stairs.
No!
Darren runs after her, but Brad grabs his leg. In the basement, Shannon stops, bites her lip, then grabs some wood planks nearby. Darren hits Brad with his elbow. Shannon breaks the light bulbs with the plank. Darren appears at the basement door and comes down the stairs, gun drawn. Shannon hides in the dark. Darren slowly moves through the basement, walking towards where Shannon hides. His finger is on the trigger.
Might as well.
He turns and Shannon hits him in the face with the plank. She runs out, Darren stumbles and grabs his head. She closes the basement door.
No lock.
Darren struggles to his feet. She grabs a drill and some screws. She screws the plank across the door as Darren makes his way up the steps. She screws the last screw in as he pounds on the door. Mac calls Shannon as he drives.
Come on, Shannon, pick up the phone.
Her phone vibrates on the floor. Brad ties a tourniquet on his leg.
Okay. See, you lost.
I'm sorry. I can't put any weight on it.
I'll call you an ambulance. Where's my phone?
I wouldn't worry about the phone.
Darren appears in the dumbwaiter aiming his gun as Mac appears in the adjacent doorway.
Hey. You don't have to do this.
She looks to Mac, who nods to her and creeps closer to Darren.
Look, you said it was an accident. The police are gonna believe you. I'll just go down to the police station. It's not too late.
They both slowly step toward Darren, who is shaking as he holds the gun.
Sorry, Shannon.
Mac grabs the gun. Shannon grabs a pipe and hits Darren with it. He falls down the dumbwaiter.
Told you these things were dangerous.
He closes the dumbwaiter door.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney will be appointed to you. If you decide to answer questions now without an attorney present, you will still have the right to stop answering at any time until you talk to
them. You know one of my favorite things about you?
What?
Your timing.
I broke 10 different traffic laws to get here. You know, the thought that something might have happened to you. I never want to feel that way again.
She smiles and gazes at him.
How did you figure it out? I didn't even suspect Principal Dean until he literally grabbed me.
A picture in your yearbook. Turns out Principal Dean had a black Impala with the three taillights.
She smiles and nods.
You must be pretty proud of yourself.
I am. It's funny how a whole case can be solved with one
little detail. One of the detectives I interviewed for my book said that. Too bad she's not the protagonist.
He pauses. He looks up. He looks to Shannon.
Maybe that's it. I picked the wrong protagonist. I should follow the woman detective. The one with the eye for telling detail. The one that reminds me of you.
She tilts her head and smiles.
Brad, are you here?
Denise hugs Brad.
Mm. You okay? Yeah.
I'm okay.
Oh, Shannon blinks. Shannon and Mac gaze at each other. We follow construction workers as they carry a pile of wooden planks up to the Craddock house. A saw slices through a plank. We move up to see Sean. Shannon approaches him.
Hey.
He turns.
Come take a break. I want to show you something real quick.
He takes off his ear protectors and follows her out. They walk into the attic room with the rocking horse in it. Sean furrows his brow.
What is it you want to show me?
I finally found this. In here.
She lifts up the saddle and takes out a diary. He flinches and walks over to her.
This is Lily's last diary.
He looks down at it.
I thought you might want some time with it.
She hands it to him.
Thank you, Shannon, for this, just for everything.
Of course.
She walks to the door, then looks back to him. He sits on the floor with the diary. She smiles, then leaves him alone. He opens to the first page and begins reading. Mac walks in the front door.
Hey, stranger.
Hey.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Well, that's what happens when writer's block goes away. I can't pry myself away from my laptop.
Oh, it's going well then.
It is, but I want to see how work on the house was going. And, oh, you might be a little hungry.
He holds up a to-go bag. She smiles.
My new favorite thing about you? Bringing me food.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I'm going to get that list a little bigger.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, let's start by building your kitchen.
Okay, that's a great place to start.
You cook.
I'm a good cook.
I noticed. I like that.